Not So Live from Asteroid G, having our own Dead Reckoning. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, trying not to go rogue nation on what we're going to talk about right now.
We're going to be discussing more recent Mission Impossible. Maybe we can go over the whole franchise if you want, although sure. I've done those a couple times before on the podcast. I don't mind. The movies are great for the most part. There's one in particular, not so much. But the movies are great for the most part. And we have the new one coming out, The Final Reckoning, which I'm assuming from the title also means it's going to be the final Tom Cruise movie of the franchise, if not the final movie of the franchise for who knows how many years. It's probably about time. The dude is, what, 65? As it's suicidal as that man is and how much he's willing to throw himself into action, maybe it's starting to get a little unbelievable that this is the super spy we always need to rely on.
You want me to, like, one of my favorite little trivia pieces about this franchise is that Tom Cruise is older now in this role as Ethan than John Voight was in Mission Impossible 1 in his role.
Right?
Like, that's how far Tom Cruise has come. 1996 was Mission Impossible 1, all the way to 2025, Mission Impossible Final Reckoning.
This almost is
the eighth movie.
Yeah, which is impressive, don't get me wrong. And there was a time where it felt like the franchise was never gonna die. Like, the first movie was decent. Like, I understand why Mission Impossible fans don't like it, because the good guy of the Mission Impossible TV series, of which this is supposed to tie into, suddenly becomes the bad guy with no development. We just talked about doing things with no development on the Hulk podcast. And they did that here, and it didn't work. But it was fine. Somehow the film franchise was able to get past Mission Impossible 2, which is ass.
It's bad.
But they brought J.J. Abrams in for number 3, and he's been an executive producer on these, I think, pretty much since. His third movie was fantastic, and then it's been on an upswing ever since through all of them, Ghost Protocol and Rogue Nation and Fallout. Yeah. I fucking love Fallout. I think that's one of the best. And it's like, it's a good middle movie to where we're at right now, from like 5 to 6 to 7, and into 8 to get a full arc developed for these, like, this cast of characters on this plot line. And I get the vibe that they were trying to set up Hayley Atwell to be, like, maybe his replacement going forward or something, which is fine. They tried to do that once before with the dude who plays Hawkeye that no one likes, and they didn't, because no one likes him.
Yeah.
But I like Hayley Atwell, and I think she was fun in the seventh movie, and if they decided to continue with her past the eighth movie, cool. I think the big issue is, and why the franchise is in the place it is right now, the seventh movie came out at the tail end of COVID time, when no one wanted to watch movies. It was a $300 million production when it should have been $150 million. It's not pretty enough for $300 million, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't advertise it to save their fucking ass. What were the advertisements for this movie? Look, the motorcycle stunt. You see most of it in the advertisement. Why do I go see the movie then?
Yeah, I didn't see Dead Reckoning, the most recent one. Yeah. I'm going to watch that one, and we're going to rap more about this after we watch the, you know, Dead Reckoning, the Final Reckoning, or whatever.
Well, yeah, we'll do the two for and do their own podcast together.
But I mean, like, to your point, like, this franchise, like, the first movie was good.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was a fun little spy movie and all that. Second one was bad, and you're wondering, okay, can we do this? And there's a 6-year hiatus between the second and third one, and they bring in, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman, who, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Fantastic villain. And then Ghost Protocol was an awesome movie. And then, they, like you said, they just keep upticking and upticking from there. It was like they got their Fast and the Furious, you know, kind of like, you know, inspiration, I guess, coming from these two. Like, how much bigger can we go? So they're fun movies. They're a good time. The preview for this one looked really good. I'm excited for it. So, you know, I can't wait. It's going to be pretty good, I think.
It's
but I think
The teaser I've seen for it look fine. They don't really tell us a lot about anything about the plot, which I do think
I'm good with that.
Well, sure, but I think there's a problem with that. If you know the movies at all, but you didn't go and see the seventh, but you see that this one isn't called Dead Reckoning Part 2 like they originally planned. It's just the Final Reckoning. But if you know them and you're like, I skipped the previous one, do I even need to go back and watch it? And should I go watch this one? If you're seeing Reckoning, you might first off think, I've already seen this. I've already seen this. Secondly, if you weren't hyped for the seventh, are you going to be hyped for the eighth without, like, more development? You can't just give us a mood piece for a trailer. You gotta give us a fucking trailer. You gotta sell the shit out of this production, because otherwise it's gonna be the last Mission Impossible for reasons Paramount didn't want.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe, you know, Tom Cruise just thinks he can still just, you know, sell because it's Tom Cruise and he's doing Mission Impossibles and they've been pretty good, especially, you know, over the last 10, 15 years, they've been pretty, really good.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, like to your point, I didn't see the most recent ones, so I don't know what's lacking in the tie-in of between that and the previews for this movie. I don't know what the plot, where the plot is right now. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess that's good for someone like me.
Maybe, but they're going to have to do a good recap at the start of the 8th if you don't watch them. I know you're going to watch
them. Oh, no, I'm going to watch them. I'm definitely going to watch
them. You get what I mean, though. You don't even, it's not even Dead Reckoning Part 2. Or
interesting name choice. Yeah, I'm looking at that.
Well, they felt that the Part 1 scared people off, I guess. I don't know. Mm. But now they're like, did I see this? Do I need to catch up? Is there a 7th movie? Is this just a rehash? People are going to be confused, which I don't think helps. I actually kind of liked the 7th movie for what it was. I know you haven't seen it. But I liked it for what it was. I didn't think it was as strong as some of them. I think if the series had just ended with 6, honestly, would have been just fine. 6 was fantastic. But, I mean, it's like with the Fast and the Furious franchise. At what point should we have stopped? And I kind of feel like that one should have stopped at 7 when Paul Walker died and not continued onwards into the travesty that is Fast X or Fast 10. I don't even know how you're supposed to say it. Like, no. That's its own flaw. They need to figure out a way to advertise it better. I don't think the trailer does a good job for it, but I'm already committed. Even if it wasn't for this website, I've already watched every fucking Mission Impossible movie, and I've loved enough of them right now that there hasn't been enough bad to make me not watch it. But Mission Impossible 7 wasn't as good as number 6, but it wasn't a bad movie. It was fun. It had some great stunts. It had some really dumb, awesome things that Tom Cruise decided to throw himself into for no reason other than it looked cool. And, you know, that's selling point number one of this whole fucking franchise. Like, I'm committed. Now, if they produced 3 more and they were all ass, I would then be like, I'm not watching another Mission Impossible. And I'm at that point right now with Fast and Furious. If I didn't have to watch them for the fucking website, I wouldn't watch them at this point. We're not there yet, but we're not there yet for me. Are we there yet for other people?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's certainly possible. There is an oversaturation going on in a lot of areas, and you know, name value really doesn't kind of pull the weight that it used to pull. Even someone like Tom Cruise, to your point, we've already touched on. You know, he's pushing mid-60s. You know, is he the action hero that he was in these movies 10 years ago? I don't know.
Well, and I've read articles about this in the past, and I think it's a valid point. How much of the Hollywood studio system actually relies on actors anymore? They don't build A-list stars at this point. Chris Evans is great, but he's not an A-list guy. He's as likely to show up in a Rian Johnson murder mystery comedy for like low 7 figures as he is to show up in a giant action movie. And the times he shows up in a giant action movie that wasn't Marvel, no one goes to watch it. Who gives a shit about The Gray Man, for example, or like whatever that assy movie was that released on Apple Plus? You know, no one talks about those. No one cares. They like him as Captain America. The character was what mattered, not Chris Evans. And so, by that logic, when the studio system doesn't support A-list actors anymore, doesn't grow them anymore, does even someone like Tom Cruise, who used to be an A-list actor, have that clout anymore?
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting, you know, dynamic shift, I think, to your point. Like, you know, the TikToks and the, you know, everybody having, like, you know, internet personalities now, the distance between movie star and star is far less than it's been at any given point. So, it's a really interesting way to look at it.
That's really valid, because you know who I see way more than, like, A-list stars from Hollywood all over the fucking place? That fucking Mr. Beast guy, who has, I think, the single most punchable face in existence, okay? That fucking airbrushed grin that he does on every fucking thing I see every time I go into Amazon Prime. I am not his fucking target audience. Why the hell do I keep seeing his obnoxious face on everything? I don't want to talk to this dude. I don't want to see this dude. Please stop showing me his crap. But he's an A-list star. You put him in a fucking Mission Impossible movie, all the 5-year-olds or whoever his audience is. They're going to fucking show up. The YouTube generation will show up for that. And I'll be like, well, I'm fucking bored. Who gives a shit about this guy?
I mean, Jake Paul is succeeding as a fucking boxer. I mean, like, people are paying that. He's fighting Mike Tyson. Well, I mean, succeeding monetarily. Is that really all that matters at the end of the day, right?
But there's some heavy air quotes doing a lot of work on that, you know?
Yeah, the word successful is doing a lot of heavy lifting there. That's for sure. Good. That's fair.
No, but you are right. Like, I think that's a lot of them right now. And it doesn't always translate into something else. YouTube had a bunch of their YouTube people, their influencer stars, whatever, that were doing, like, live action, not documentary, but stupid shit videos. And then they tried to bring them together for, like, scripted dramas or comedies on YouTube Red.
Yeah, YouTube Red.
And then those immediately tanked because the people weren't watching them for their scripted shit. They were watching for them for the dumb shit where they, like, threw a car off a cliff and said, I just blew $180,000. Ha ha!
I mean, Jackass had it right 30 years ago, man. Do not try this at home. You know, that's what people want to see. We want to see the train wreck, car accident. We want to see people getting hurt. We'll never admit it, but we want to see it.
I mean, like, one of the things that shows up on my feed regularly, which I can't deny I do watch, is Beard Meets Boots. Which is just a dude that's eating, like, a bunch of random shit. And big food challenges because he's a competitive eater. And I'm like, this is a train wreck, and I'm always watching it every time. I want to see him succeed. I don't want to see him fail, but I'm still stuck watching this. Like, dude plows through a basket of fried pickles in, like, 15 seconds. I'm like, oh, my God, your cholesterol. Yeah. I'm so sorry for you.
Yeah. But I want to see you eat this 18-pound pancake. Yeah. Can you finish
it? Monkey, eat this for me. Grind your music player and eat this. I agree. Like, these are the stars that we're cultivating, and people like Tom Cruise and Chris Evans are at a different level. Not a better level, maybe not as successful a level, just a different one. So our whole of entertainment has changed, and Hollywood hasn't been able to keep up with it. I think that's another reason why the seventh Mission Impossible movie didn't succeed like Hollywood expected to. It took a long time to develop. It cost twice as much as it probably should have. And it has an aging star that the younger generations honestly don't give a shit about. Maverick worked because it drew in the old crowd. But Mission Impossible, I went to the theater to see it. Barely anyone was there. And the old crowd that was there for Top Gun didn't show up for Mission Impossible. It doesn't have the same connection to them. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I mean, even just like yesterday, it was a Tuesday, I went and saw Captain America. Mm-hmm. And there was 5 people in the theater, like, and this is Marvel, and it's only 2 weeks, you know, like, it's a Tuesday, so, like, I get it, but we went on a Tuesday because it was cheaper, you know. Movies now, I mean, like, when we were in high school, movies was your first date, you know. It was dinner and a movie, that's where you took the girl. Movies is your closing date now, and you've been dating for a while. It's like $60 to go to the movies. Like, I mean,
is that
the disconnect of payment here is crazy.
I took my wife out, she needs to put out now, kind of.
That's exactly what I'm saying, man. Like, that, taking a girl, if you, like, kids, if they respect women, all that, but if you take a girl out there, you need to make sure that the movie theater is the closing deal because that's a nice dinner and a nice movie. That's a $200 night.
That's a $200. Now, in fairness, when we were younger, concerts were also cheaper. Yeah, like, that's true. I saw Nine Inch Nails for $60. I don't think I can get tickets to them for less than $50 now.
Yeah,
and that's like the nosebleeds where I can't even, like, make out the music half the time, you know?
Yeah. I saw Bruce Springsteen at the Garden when I was a senior in high school, and it was like $150 a ticket. That's fucking Bruce Springsteen. Like, I mean, come on, dude.
Yeah. No, like, you can't go to the shows the way you can. That's the fault of Ticketmaster. But everything's gone up in price. And, like, a good third or fourth date might have been take them to a concert. Just because it was cheap and it was in town. And now you're I've been married to you for 3 years. I better love you if I'm taking you to this kind of outlay.
That's what it is now. And I think to your point, like, Hollywood, yes, these movies are expensive. And yes, we have to pay these. I mean, the credits now for every movie is like 5 minutes long because of everybody that worked on it.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. You got to pay these people and they got to earn a living and they deserve everything they get because they work hard. But, like, it's so expensive to go to the movies now. And Dead Reckoning coming. Part one coming out, like you said, right after COVID, like, how many people were still trusting going to the movies at that point? Yeah. So they're like, and there's streaming, there's other ways to get access to things now. So, like, I don't know, like, maybe cinema as a whole over the next 50 years is just going to look tremendously different with everybody having a TikTok or a YouTube or a Twitch account where you can reach, you know, at any given point, there's 80,000-90,000 people watching some, you know, streamers on Twitch. It's crazy. And like, that's where the entertainment is now. It's not with these people like Tom Cruise or Ed Harris or, like, you know, these people back in the day that would draw people to a movie just on name value alone.
Yeah. Well, and it's an interesting point to make that Hollywood is struggling with this right now, and they're going to be struggling with it for a little while. They trained people on streaming. They mm-hmm. said streaming is the deal, streaming is what you should watch. Then they made streaming hideously expensive. But people are online, and they want to watch it on their streaming app now. So instead of making their streaming services better, they're just making them more expensive and more laden with ads, so that people are going elsewhere. If I'm going to have to watch ads anyway, why am I not just watching movies on Tubi, for example, where it's free, or using an ad blocker? I would never do that, honestly.
Never.
To like YouTube or something. Like, there are ways to get the experience without having to shell out the money to Hollywood, for example. When it was just like Netflix and Hulu, as we've discussed before, it was a good value proposition, and those services were cheap. It's now like 30 of them if you want to see everything, and they're all $20 a pop, and no one has the money or time for that. Thank you. But because of streaming, they've dissolved their DVD business, essentially, and now that other revenue stream they used to rely on to basically double their profit in the theaters is gone. So, like, Marvel made up, what, $20, $30 billion from their movies in the first three phases, and people were buying movies all the time. They, even if they made $20 or $30 billion in their next three phases, they're not going to get like up to 60 or 70 from home sales. They're stuck with what they have, and so everyone's struggling. And Paramount couldn't make the money on ancillary material that they used to make for the seventh Mission Impossible. So when it tanked hard, and they've been scrambling and. I think it's the final reckoning because Paramount doesn't have the faith that they're going to be able to make another one after this. They were contractually obligated to make this one, and they want to keep Tom Cruise happy. But I think this is, like, unless this suddenly rollicks back, which, as interesting as the trailer was, it's not, I don't think it's going to do that. This is probably the last one we're going to get, at least for 5 or 6 years, and it won't be Tom Cruise starring in it again after this.
Yeah, it's really kind of like the end of an era here, you know. There's a real changing of the guard across just, you know, life in general. You know, physical media is not what it used to be. You know, I got a DVD collection that's behind me in our little, you know, piece of furniture there. Probably 200-300 DVDs. How often do I watch them? I mean, if I can't find something on a streaming service, it's like, it's just the way things have changed now. And it's kind of sad. You know, I miss the days of going to Blockbuster. I miss the days of waiting for that next movie to come out in theater and going to see it because it was just a different world. But that's not what we live in now. Yeah. It's different. No, it's good in a way, but it's just different.
I miss Blockbuster as well. I won't deny that. I have 3,500 DVDs in my collection. It's obscene. But I'm still with you on that. If I'm going to watch something, I will watch a DVD, but do I go and check the streaming services I have first just so I don't have to get up off my couch to pop it in? Yeah, the DVDs are there as a backup just in case I want to watch something and I can't find it somewhere that I have it. Like, the number of times I've started a series, like, good or bad series, I've started on, like, one streaming service. I get two or three movies in, and then suddenly it switches from Netflix to Tubi or from Tubi over to Showtime on Paramount Plus. And it's like, now I can't watch the fifth Leprechaun, which no one wants to watch, but I'm going to watch it. But now I have to wait until I have a streaming service that actually provides it again. So I'm watching shit like that in pieces and chunks. Or I'm going back to DVDs to watch all of them. So, like, we live in an easy time for streaming, but we live in a terrible time if you just want to be a movie guy.
And to your point, like, we touched on this when we talked about Scream and the franchise a while back. Like, you cannot consume every Scream movie in one place. Like, I had to go out of my way to watch. I had to go to a different service just to watch Scream 4. Like, but 1, 2, 3, 6 and 7 and 5 or whatever, they're all on the other one. Like, why don't you have 4?
Yeah, they were all like
weird.
They were Dimension and Paramount made these movies. And if it was just Dimension, then Disney should have all of the original ones, like the first 5, which is fine. Right. But they should be in order. And then Paramount would have the other two. But, like, if you just had to go to Disney for the first 5, and then, or first 4, and then Paramount for the last 2, that's fine. Sure. That's at least a compromise. But to your point, 1, 2, 5, 7 are on one, and 3, 4, 6 are on a different one, and you're like, why this way? Why did you break it up this way? Because now it's just, even if I'm bouncing between 2 back and forth, it still feels obnoxious to keep track of it.
Yeah, and it's an inconvenience that, like, in our modern age with digital, you know, at your fingertips, that you shouldn't have to face. And, like, I don't know if it's a monopoly of this service or that service, but, I mean, it's frustrating, you know, as a consumer at times to try to want to watch something, and you can't because it's not on that streaming service. I got to, you know, get a free trial at this over here. I got to go buy a two-week thing over there. Like, it's just, it gets really just tiresome and just at the same time, you know, why bother anymore? And, like, we'll see. I think that you might be onto something. Maybe this is the last Mission Impossible. It's the end of that era there, and we get something different. I hope this does well. I think this will be the last Tom Cruise one we get as him as the lead, if he's even willing to let that go, because I mean, he's still pretty fit, but, like, I was even thinking in the preview, like, damn, he does look every bit as old now as he looked the same for about 20 years. He looks old now. He is, you know,
he is. The Mummy, he just kind of, it's like Tom Cruise and Cats. At a certain point, they hit that old wall, and it's just suddenly downhill. Yeah.
Father Time is undefeated.
Even to Tom Cruise.
Yeah. All the baby's blood and vampire in the world can't keep that guy young.
And he tried. I mean, it's pretty clear he did. Tried. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Scientology couldn't save him here. Sorry.
Oh wow, I'm getting Elizabeth Bathory as played by Tom Cruise vibes, and it's not a visual I wanted, but now I'm stuck with it, you know.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Oh.
the remake of Couch Cats Dracula, I did not need.
Yeah. But we'll see. We're gonna watch it. We'll talk about it. I'm sure we'll enjoy the explosions and all that. But I mean, you know, we'll see. We'll just see.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, getting a mission and choosing not to accept it. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul gonna go get rid of this letter before it self-destructs in 5 seconds.
We will see you all next time.